Cool. I'm excited. I'm honored to be here. I was talking to Pastor Kevin this morning, and Brent, we were texting each other, and I was just praying, and I was thanking him for the opportunity. And before I do anything, I just want to tell you guys how blessed you guys are for the leadership that you guys have. I was sharing this morning during prayer time. I was talking about how our church wouldn't be what it is now had it not been for the pastor that you guys have. Several months ago, about a year ago, our church was literally on life support. We didn't know if we wanted to continue. We didn't know if we were going to be able to continue. But I met this young radical guy by the name of Pastor Kevin, and who loves God, and his wife loves God, and they gave us an opportunity to continue to do what God had called us to do. And as a result of that, not only are we still doing ministry, but also lives are still being changed as a result of them being able and being willing to submit themselves to God. So I'm excited for that opportunity. So every chance you guys get, every chance you get, make sure that you shower them guys with affection. Let them know how grateful you are for their leadership, because my pastor says it this way. He says, good leadership is a blessing and bad leadership is a curse. So be grateful for the leadership that you guys have. Let's bless them this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm excited again to be here. We're going to go right into the word. The word this morning is going to come from Psalms chapter number 34. Psalms chapter number 34. Find it. I was meditating all week long, and I was just thinking about one verse in particular, a verse in, I think it's verse number 8, where he simply says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, and I was meditating on it, and I was like, out of all the ways to describe yourself, why would you tell somebody to taste you? You know, like, you know, especially with me, for the guys that play basketball, you ever been on the basketball court and you sweating and you accidentally get an elbow in your mouth and you're like, you feel this nasty sweat. You're like, why would you say taste me? But it was amazing. That was supposed to be funny. But it's amazing that God took the time to say taste me. And so all week long in my quiet time, I just studied and I prayed and I asked God, I said, Lord, why would you describe yourself in this magnitude, in this manner? And I believe that if we take our time and we allow our hearts to be open, I believe that there was such a profound message. I believe that there is such a profound message that we can pull from this particular chapter. So if you have it, we're going to read. I'm going to read from the Message translation. And so just follow me in yours. In verse number 1, it says, I will bless the Lord every chance I get. My lungs will expand with his praise. I will live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me of my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him the warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, watch this, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. Listen to that word one more time. It says, when I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. Anybody ever been in a tight spot? You ever been in a spot and you didn't know how you were going to get out of it, but you had enough common sense to say, Lord, if you can get me out of this. And the Lord came in and did it for you. And then it goes on and says, God's angel, they set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Now, this is the part that I want to use for our central verse. It says, open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are those who run to him. Now, for a few minutes, I want to use for a thought or a subject, don't give up. You know, I was meditating on it, and when the Lord said, that you would preach about don't give up, I was like, okay, Lord, how does don't give up relate to a scripture that says taste and see? Like that doesn't make sense. You know, it's not like peanut butter and jelly. It's not like ketchup and mustard. It doesn't go together. Like, you know, don't give up, but you're saying taste and see. But as I continue to meditate, the Lord gave me the second part of the subtopic is simply this. It's a taste test. It's a taste test. You know, and when he began to share that with me, it began to make a little bit more sense. It began to say, okay, if we're going to taste something, then that indicates from the very beginning that there's a process. You know, you can't get scratch-made biscuits without a process. You know, you can't get filet mignon without a process. You can't get scrambled eggs without a process. So when I began to listen to the scripture and meditate this week, the Lord was saying, listen, Robinson, there are people that are out there right now that are in the middle of a process, and many of them have stopped tasting me. Many of them have gotten to a place that they no longer taste me. They no longer have any idea or any inclination that I'm still good. Anybody like cupcakes in here this morning? Anybody like cupcakes? Come here, Kyle. Kyle's my help this morning. My boys are here with me. Some of our members from New Life are here. But we want to do something real quick. And I don't make a mess, because I don't want Chris Gaddy to get on me for handing out cupcakes in the middle of service. Anybody like cupcakes? Raise your hand if you like cupcakes. All right. So Chris likes cupcakes. Hand out 6 cupcakes. Keep your hands up. Let them grab 6 cup. Give everybody a cupcake that has their hand up. 6 people. So right here. Why? Go give Kim Chris's. All right. So I had another set of cupcakes. I was going to hand out 12, but on our way of coming in the building, one of my boys accidentally dropped a dozen. And so now I got to, like, save a couple for my next sermon. All right. So, but the cupcakes that you're seeing, go ahead and make sure you're passing them out. As you're looking at this cupcake, you're looking at a finished process. You're looking at a process that has sprinkles on the top. You're looking at the chocolate icing, Kyle, right here to your right. You're looking at a process that's actually finished. Many of us, we go through life, especially our Christian life, and we have this process where we want everything to be a finished process. We don't want to go through, you know, stage 1. We don't want to go through stage 2. We don't want to go through stage 3. And what happens is, oftentimes, we get in stage 3 and we begin to get discouraged. We began to find ourselves in a place where God is no longer good to us. When we were employed, God was great. You know, when we had more than enough money to pay our bills, God was, he tastes amazing. But then now that we have no income and we're facing foreclosure, we start to question, God, are you really as good as you once tasted? You know, when you were young as I used to be, and you could run and you could jump and you could do all these kind of crazy things, and now 5-6 years later, after breaking your leg and you can't play a pickup game of basketball with your sons, you start to wonder and ask God, God, are you still? You said that you were going to be youth, and now I can't even run. So you begin to go through life's processes, and if you're not careful, you'll go through these processes and you'll begin to allow your circumstances to cause you to look at God from a different light. You'll begin to allow what's going on around you to affect how you see God. You'll allow what people are saying to you to cause you to think that God may not be as good as you once experienced. And I stopped by this morning to encourage you, to let you know that that's like the worst trick of the devil. No matter what's going on in life, God is still good. That's a good place to clap. No matter what's going on in your life, God is still good. You know, David said, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Another scripture says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is still worthy to be praised. And all of us as believers, we believe that there's no error in the word of God. We believe that the word of God is infallible. We believe that if there's a promise in the word of God concerning us, we believe it. But then when circumstances happen, we begin to say, well, maybe this part may not be as true as I once thought it was. It's true. You know, just a couple months ago when my daughter was going through her health scare, I was wondering and I was questioning God. I said, God, now you said that we have not because we ask not. And I've been asking, what are you going to do? You know, I went through pacing up and down the halls of her having an ultrasound done. And I began to question God and say, God, now I'm walking upright before you. And your word says that you won't withhold any good thing from them that love you and walk upright. But yet here I am worried about my daughter's health. So like all of this stuff is real. You know, I'm not saying that all of us in here, we never experience a place where we wonder if God is as good as he used to taste. But I stop by to encourage you that he is. I know it may not seem like it. It may not look like it. But I'm telling you, and it may not even sound like it. But God is still good. in this particular passage, David was he had his issue with Saul, and he was running and he ran and he went to the city of Philistine, and Abimelech was there, and he found himself in trouble, and he started praying, and when he saw that he was in trouble, he concocted a plan to act like he was crazy. He said, if I can act crazy, maybe I can get out of this situation. And so this psalm is actually telling us what was going on at that particular time in 1 Samuel. So I want to make sure I preach for a second from the word, but then I want to make it simple. Okay, is that all right? All right, so he says, I will live and breathe God even when things aren't going well. Hear this and be happy. There are some people in here right now who they look good. On the outside, it appears that everything is great. But on the inside of them, they're conflicted. They're wondering, should I continue to try? Should I continue to go ahead? Should I continue to hold on to faith? Should I continue to hold on to everything that I once believed? And they've been on the verge of wanting to give up. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything like that. If we was in New Life, I would start pointing you out and say, come here, let's pray and get this out of you, you know. But I want to make sure that you guys know that there are people right now that may be sick next to you. Some may be willing, they're contemplating giving up on their marriage because they haven't been well. Some people have been sick for so long, they've been contemplating, should I just go ahead and give up on God? There's some people that are in a place right now that are going to school, and by them going to school, things aren't as good as they used to be, and it's hard right now, and they're wondering, should I continue to even go? These are some of the struggles that all of us as believers sometimes find ourselves facing, and it's normal. But when you find yourself in this place, you have to get back to the point of knowing that no matter what it looks like, God is still good. It may not look the way that you think it should look, but because God is who he is, he understands that when he starts something, he's going to finish it. Amen? He's going to take you through a process, but the good thing about God is he knows the process from the beginning, in the middle, and ultimately the end. Because we have limited knowledge, we find ourselves in a place where we're excited when God shows us something early. But then when we get to the middle and it doesn't look like what we once thought about, we start to wonder if the end really was what it was in the very beginning. But in Hebrews, it says, I think it's Hebrews chapter number 15, verse number 2, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if he made you a promise, it doesn't matter what it looks like today. The thing that matters is that he made you a promise. And if you can hold on to the promise no matter what it looks like, then guess what? You're in good company. David was here, and he realized that as long as he knew who God was, he was going to be safe. As long as you continue to know who God is, no matter what you're facing, you're going to be safe. I know it may not look right now. I know you may have not even had the courage to tell someone what you're facing, what you're struggling with. But as long as you know God, you're going to be safe. He said, when I was desperate, I called out to him and he delivered me. He met me right where I was as soon as I began to call out to him. Somebody here this morning simply needs to cry out to him. You've been in this place far too long, and the reason why you're still there is because you haven't articulated your needs to God. You haven't said, God, listen, this is what I have need of. As I began to leave out Pastor Kevin's office this morning, it was a basic piece of paper, and it was folded. It was almost like a little teepee little shape, and I looked at Kevin, Chris, and I said, man, that's simple, but it was profound. It was just three letters. It said, ask. It said, ask. Can you imagine if you woke up every morning with your mind set to ask God for the things that you need from him? Many of us wake up and we're looking at our problems instead of looking up and saying, God, this is what I need. This is what I need, God. I challenge each and every one of you today, and this wasn't part of my sermon, but I want you to write that word down and place it somewhere that you'll see it every day. Place it in your prayer closet. Place it in your car, that when you get ready to put your car in gear, you see the word ask. When you get to work, put it on your desk, the word ask. Be reminded that the Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you ask the Lord, he said he won't withhold any good thing from them that walk upright before him. So why forfeit blessings that God has waiting for us? All we have to do is ask. But let's get into the illustration real quick. Guys, bring my box real quick. Bring my box. Now, don't tell my wife I have this. I'm streaming on Periscope, not Facebook, so she shouldn't see this. Put it right there. She follows me on Facebook, but not Periscope, because she says it's too complicated. Bring me this table real quick. Now, I took some stuff out of her office. I mean, I call it her office, but her kitchen. Because she's very particular about it. Any women particular about their kitchens? You don't like people just going in your kitchen. But in your space. All right, so any bakers in here? Anybody bake in here? Now, I'm in trouble because if I don't do this right, they're going to judge me, Chris. Yeah. All right, so this is a basic cake. This isn't anything fancy. Don't be, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. No, it's basic, all right? It's basic. So inside of my box, I want to show you what God is saying when he says, oh, taste and see, all right, that the Lord is good. Inside of this box, I took a lot of things from my wife's, her kitchen, and she's going to get me. So boys, don't say a word. I will deny it and say, y'all brought it for me. All right. So on this table in front of me are various things, all right? And I believe that this is how our life is. I believe that this is our lives. All right, so this, you know, I brought everything, guys. All right, so this is us. This is you, all right? This is you. This is you walking around every day in life. This is you, all right? But this is what the end product of you looks like. It is. This is what the end product of you look like. All right? This is the end product. This is what you look like at the very end. Everybody see that? But this is you presently. This is you currently. This is you right now. Many of us want to be this now. And so we don't fully embrace who we currently are. We want to be this now so that when things happen that make us think that this is no longer possible, we give up on being this. To make a cake, to be this, there are some things that we have to have. And I'm not going to mix it all up because of the mess that I would have to make. In order for you to be what God has called you to be, you have to go through sometimes disappointment. All right? There's some disappointment you got to go through. You got to go through some heartache. You have to go through some times that don't look good. You have to go through some times that make you question and wonder. But it's during this process, it's during this period of time of becoming who God has called you to be, that God is developing your prayer life. He's developing your fasting life. He's developing some of the things that are going to be essential to making you who you are. There's no way in the world you can be this without this. If you take all these other ingredients and I keep this out, you'll never be this. You'll be nowhere near what you're supposed to be. And right now, God has some of us in a place where he's just working in this part of our lives. And it's cool. It's okay. You have to know and be reminded that God is great. You have to be reminded that God knows what he's doing. You have to remind yourself every day, no matter what obstacles come your way, that God is the master architect. He's going to see this thing to completion. The Bible says, he who began a good work in us, he's going to see it to completion. So he knows that you're going to have to go through a little heartache. He knows that you're going to have to go through a little pain. So the flour's there. Then the butter. Who in here, if I gave you this butter and said, hey, I need you to eat this, how many of us would just eat this butter by itself? I used to when I was little too. And my grandmother whooped me, and after that, I was like, yo, I don't want any more butter. So you go through days where people may reject you. People may talk about you. This butter right here, this isn't the one, but when you're making a cake, my wife shows me this. She says, you have to use unsalted butter. Okay? You're gonna have to go through things that may not seem normal. You're gonna have to endure some things that may not seem normal. You look across the street and they're not having to deal with what you're dealing with. That's fine. Because they're not the same cake that you are. They're not the same flavor that you are. They're not the same level that you are. They are who they are. You are who you are. So you're going to have to go through some uncommon stages. And when you go through those, embrace and hold on to the fact that God is in control. So we throw the butter in here. This is one of my favorite parts because this is where many of us get distracted. I'm going to try to hurry up so I don't keep you guys too long. My son said, don't drop the eggs. This egg, I think it's three of them according to the recipe I was looking at. All right. But this egg, if I took this egg and simply placed it in here in that same magnitude, recipe for disaster, right? Shells and it wouldn't be right. You're going to have to go through some stages in life where you're going to have to endure a little bit of pain. In order for us to get the yolk out of this egg has to go through some type of traumatic experience. I didn't realize that was funny, but it has to go through something traumatic. It has to be broken. So the experiences that you were crying about 2 years ago that broke you, that you're still crying about 2 years later, stop crying about them. It was essential. It had to happen. Had it not happened, what was inside of you would have never been released. So God has to break us sometimes. If I'm going to get to this right here, there's no way in the world I can use this in its current stage. If you're going to impact Ember the way that Pastor Kevin, the way that God envisions you, impacting not only Ember, but this community and this world, you can't go in the state that you're in right now. You can't go looking as if everything, you have to be willing to totally submit yourself to God and say, God, wherever it takes me, whatever it causes me to have to give up, whatever I have to endure, I'm willing to endure it because I realize that my life is not my own. But it's to God that I belong. One of my favorite scriptures growing up was Galatians 2 and 20 that says, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives within me. And the power that I do now is because of the Son of God. This church can never be the thing that God has called it to be if you're too safe to go through this process. That means you got to walk out on faith sometimes. You got to walk through some scary stuff. But it's okay because he's with you. I was praying and one of my favorite scriptures, and it's Psalms chapter number 23, where he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. And I said, now, okay, if he's with us, then Chris, why wouldn't he lead us through a safe path? Have you ever thought about that? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when I hear those words, I'm thinking of the scary, gloomy place. But if he's going to be with me, why didn't he just lead me through a safe place? It's because he wanted to remind me that no matter what it is that I face, he's never going to leave me. Some of you are on the verge right now, like I said earlier, you're contemplating giving up. You're in a scary place, but he's still with you. He's never left you. The Bible says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I'll be with you always from the beginning, in the middle, and to the end. It's just a taste test, guys. It's just a taste test. The life that we're going through, the process that we're going through, is a taste test. All of these ingredients are important. The milk that's here, the salt, no, this isn't salt, that's sugar. The salt that's here. And then the measuring cups. He knows exactly how much we have to endure. Stop complaining about how much you're going through. He understands that it has to be 3 eggs. It has to be 1.5 cups. He understands that it has to be 2 teaspoons. He understands the exact measurements. So God is perfecting you to bring about the thing that only he can bring about. But the only way we can get it is if we submit ourselves to the process. You're going through a taste test right now. All of these ingredients by themselves, they look crazy. They don't seem like they serve a huge purpose. But all of them together, they serve a purpose that will allow us to enjoy it in the end. Two parts and I'm done. After we mix all of this stuff up, it has to go into the oven. It has to go into a certain temperature. Only at that certain temperature, for the certain amount of time, can you get it out the way that it's supposed to be. Some of you right now are about to come out of the oven. And Kim said, I hope so. Some of you guys are about to come out of the oven. The timer is getting ready to go off. And when the timer goes off, you're going to go to the kitchen and you're going to open it up. And you're going to pull it out. But the process still isn't done. Still not done. I was looking at this, and once you go into this beautiful pan to become that cake, my wife always says, don't touch it, leave it on the table and let it cool down. And let it cool down. Because I was wanting to help. I grabbed it again and just flipped it up. She said, what are you doing? She freaked out. She said, leave it alone, let it sit there. Let it sit there. It seems like nothing's happening in some of your lives. Some of you guys are in a place where it seems like God isn't even really moving anymore. Like you're at a stagnant place. You've been praying for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years. And it seems like nothing's happened. You're just sitting there. He's getting ready to flip it. He's getting ready to flip it. He's getting ready to flip it. He's getting ready to take what had to endure some beating, some high temperatures, and he's going to take it and he's going to invert it. Everything that you lost, everything that you had to endure while you were this way, he's getting ready to give it back to you. But you got to endure it. You got to endure the hot days. You have to endure the beating. You have to endure all those things because those are the things that are going to bring you to the place that you can be the masterpiece in the end. And I was looking at this and I was like, okay, I missed one important ingredient earlier. And the Lord said, I'm going to circle you back to it. Many of us, the reason why we can't get the end product out of this is because we didn't do the first process. Spray it. We didn't spray it. I've seen my wife do it. Not that she didn't spray it, but she didn't coat it enough. And when she flipped it, it came out almost perfect, but there was one spot that was messed up. And her being the perfectionist that she is, she cuts it up, gives it to the kids, and start all back over again. I've stayed up plenty of nights at like 3 a.m. talking to her while she's like mixing a cake. And I'm like, can we just go to sleep? I'll buy you one in the morning. But she starts over. And what she starts over with is making sure she uses this to spray it. Throughout the Bible, when it talks about the presence of God, it uses an analogy of oil. He said it's like the precious oil that runs down the beard of Aaron. He talks about oil. When the widow woman had to pay her debt and she didn't know how she was going to do it, he said, go borrow some empty things and we'll fill them up. He talks about the presence of God being oil. Before you can endure any process, you have to first submit yourself to God. before the heat can do what it's supposed to do, before the eggs can do what it's supposed to do, the flour, the vanilla extract, all of those things, before any of those things can do what they're supposed to do, you have to make sure you spray it. Every morning that you wake up, you have to crucify your flesh. You have to wake up and say, today, my flesh won't win. Today, I'm going to submit myself to the will of God. And when you submit yourself to the will of God, guess what? He's in control. So if you go to work and there's a pink slip on your desk, say, God's in control. When you wake up and you've been praying for this child that's not submitting themselves to the teaching and the leadership that you've been trying to bring them up in, it's in your hands, God. You don't have to fret. You can trust them. Life is a process. It's a taste test. All of these things have to work together to get to where God is trying to take you to. If you try to speed up the process, you're going to make a mess. I thought I could do that one time, Kim. Well, if it says 350, why can't I just pump it up like 425? It'll cook faster. It cooks faster. I ain't got to stay up as late. And she's like, dude, you're making a mess. Don't give up. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Don't be discouraged. He knows what he's doing. In the right time, God is going to do what only God can do. And you're going to be grateful for it because you're going to see the end product. Hang in there. Hang in. I want to do something. I want to pray for some people, and this is where you have an opportunity to be honest before God. I want to pray for some people who have been on the verge of giving up in whatever areas. I don't know what areas it are. It really doesn't matter to me. But you've been in a place where you've been on the verge of giving up on something. You've been praying, and it seems like nothing's happened. And so you've been contemplating. This week, you contemplated, well, should I continue to even pray? You're in here. Some of you have been going through heartache, and you're wondering, should I give up? I want you to come up to the altar this morning. I want to pray with you. I want to pray that that spirit that's trying to get you to throw in the towel will be bound and sent back to the pits of hell from which it came. Because God knows what he's doing. Don't give up. It's just a process. And I promise you, it's going to come a lot sooner than you think it is. Me and my wife, we had a financial goal of where we wanted to be by the age of 55. 45. And as I was getting dressed this morning, she called me upstairs and she started looking at some numbers. And a place that I thought it was going to take me 10 years to get to, God's already took me there. But I didn't even realize it. When you submit yourself to God and don't be discouraged and don't give up, he'll begin to move and take you places that'll blow it'll blow your mind. So whoever you are that's here and you've been on the verge of wanting to give up on something, some of the young people at school, some of you had a desire to go to school, but it seemed like it's not working. It seemed like it's not possible. I want you to come to the altar and I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. And I promise you that as we begin to pray, you're going to see the power of God, the will of God moving your life before this year is out. And I speak it, I declare it, and I decree it by the power that God has bestowed inside of us. So if that's you and you're here and you've been on the verge of giving up, I want you to come. I want you to come. Come on. Come on. I want you to come. You've been on the verge of giving up. I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to come. If some of the other ministry leaders will come and help us. Yeah, thank you. If some of the other ministry leaders will come, Jeff, if you guys will come, and I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray over this group of people that are here. Because it's a trick of the enemy to try to get you to give up. You're closer than you think. 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 I promise you. I promise you, you're closer than you think.